And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. Goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, Big Rig has adjusted the camera angle, and yes, my little appeal to heaven flag is visible on the screen behind me on the high shelf next to the sign that used to be on my team room in Baghdad. And other pieces of memorabilia. That's an interesting set of shelves, by the way. I've got, you know, everything from family pictures to, you know, stuff from being in the state Senate to stuff being in, you know, overseas of the military. And just it's got.
You got like a Captain America comic back there, too.
That is my Father's Day card from my grandson.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much. That's
special.
It is special.
Yeah.
It's also pretty cool. All right. So, listen, let me jump on a few more text messages, then I'll just leap right into the first dipper of the day. John from Brownsboro says, if Trump goes to prison, he should flip it Johnny Cash style, hold a rally in the yard surrounded by Secret Service, and the gag order would be off and he'd have free reign. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Trump's going to own the messaging on this. I guarantee, stand by. McBee from Sand Mountain says, thumbs up to prayer for the jury. Yes, indeed. I really do mean that, by the way. Pray for these folks. We just got word, by the way, breaking news is that the jury has requested, they're allowed to send out questions. So they've already been sent to deliberations. They are in the jury room right now. I assume because they've already sent out their first questions to the judge, that means they've elected their foreman. But the jury is now in deliberations on the 34 felony counts that that Trump is potentially pending. It's something to watch, man. We are in uncharted waters right now, and the jury has now requested copies of both Michael Cohen's and David Pecker's testimony, so they can review it. I guess some aspect of it is causing questions in the jury room. Missy from Falkville, with regards to the monologue, says, nailed it. Awesome. Thank you, Missy. Gary from Decatur says, if you read or believe anything written in the New York Times, you might be a communist. There you have it. And then Jeremy from Huntsville says, he's now Jeremy from Madison. Okay, you need to change that there, Big Rig. Can you change Jeremy from Huntsville to Jeremy from Madison? Mm-hmm. He says, I didn't hear yesterday's question from the Babylon Bee, but I was right about the judge's unconstitutional instructions to your jury. Your thoughts on the subject? Well, first of all, I'm not privy to everything the judge did charge the jury. I heard it was an hour of a droning monotone legalese that he did not send back with them. That's one of the things that strikes me as interesting, is they don't have the jury instructions in their hands. If they have a question, they're allowed to ask, and he'll have to repeat something for them or remind them of what he said. I am not clear on all of the charges, though one of the things that I did hear was if they find Trump guilty on the underlying counts, you know, the falsification of records under New York law, that it's not necessary that they go ahead and find him guilty then of the upper crimes in the federal campaign law, which I find interesting. He says all you'll have to do is find that he did the process of, I'm trying to say what, let me say this correctly. I believe the judge charged the jury that all they would have to find is a guilty on the underlying falsification of records charges for the purpose of committing some other crime. And that alone would be enough. And I just find that to be novel. I mean, everything about this trial has been novel. I mean, whoever heard of going to trial, sending it all the way to a jury? Oh, by the way, the judge deferred. He could have given a directed verdict. He chose not to. He did the thing that, you know, allows the jury to be the parties that have to bear all the weight. So this has been a judge that you can just tell he can't stand Trump. Now, granted, Trump's given him no reason to like him. But what I'm saying is this judge appears to have had a predilection to, you know, disliking Trump in a big way. We'll see. Lots more to come on that. We'll keep you posted if any news breaks. But right now, the jury is in deliberations as we speak. And by the way, this could go on for a while. They might be in deliberations. They might, if they come out quickly, it's a defense verdict, meaning Trump's going to be found innocent. If they're going long, then it's going to be a hung jury. That means they can't come to resolution. Technically, all 34 counts are the exact same thing. Each of the counts is a separate check that was written, is my understanding. So if that's the case, then all they got to do is deliberate as to the one and then decide whether it really applies to the rest. All right, let me jump on in. Ballot whack-a-mole. Let me ask you a question. Have you thought about what happens if Biden can't get on the ballot? And I'm really not even talking about just can he get ballot access. He's technically already the nominee, not yet certified by the conference, by the convention, but he's won enough electors to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. What happens if what we know to be a very feeble Biden decides to step down or is removed, for that matter? Or, and I'm not wishing anything on him, but or if he has some kind of a health issue that takes him out. Or the Hunter Biden case really unravels, which, by the way, Hunter Biden's on trial. They're so focused on Trump right now, no one's reporting on the fact that Hunter Biden's trial's coming up. I suspect they will. But that could wind up getting really ugly because it's a whole week or more of a trial with evidence about his drug fueled days of you know of crack cocaine and hookers and evidence to support it, and you wonder, okay, is that going to cause the unraveling of the Biden? Because if that was a Republican, oh my God, he'd already be out of office. But let me make a prediction for you. I've said it once before, but I'm going to lay it out there again. Here at 2:41 on May the 29th, Central Time. Here's my prediction. First of all, I'll lay the foundation for it. If you notice, we're going to have a debate now in June. A June presidential debate is considered to be very early in the season for a debate. Usually they wait till much later, like within the last 60 to 90 days before the actual election itself. So we're going to have one in June. That feels early. Well, that is early. Why would they do it so early? I don't know. Could it be because they want to see how Biden does? Because they also set, the Democrats did, their convention very late. Their convention is so late, in fact, that there are two states, Alabama being one, that said, hey, you're not going to get your candidate certified in time to get on our ballot. What do y'all plan to do about this? So the Democrats are the ones who requested the debate early in June, and the Democrats are the ones who set their convention to certify their candidate late August. Does that mean that they really just want to watch and see how he does on stage first? And if it's a complete goat rodeo, are they going to turn around and go, you know what? We need some new clowns in the circus because this one is not working, and find a reason for him to step down and go to the House. Time for you to go to Rehoboth Beach. I thought I was at Rehoboth Beach. No, sir, you're in the White House. Oh, it looks a lot like the beach to me. I mean, that's the everyday with Biden is just kind of a crapshoot. So here's my prediction. I believe that they are looking to see how he does at the debate. And if it goes badly, or he can't hold his own, or he has some kind of a breakdown, or he can't find his way off the stage, or Trump makes him look really, really bad, then I believe they're going to spend the interim time building the case to replace him at the convention. Now that I've said that, you remember just, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, Governor Kay Ivey actually signed a bill that was passed bipartisan through the Alabama legislature to give a exception to the rule one time to allow Democrats to get their candidate on the ballot later than usual. Our law requires them to have their certification in 82 days before the election. They weren't going to make it. They want to run the country, but they couldn't line up their DNC conference in Chicago in time to have their certifications done on time for several states, Alabama being one. But we accommodated. Democrats, we were already in session at the time. Democrats foisted a bill. We weren't going to be the state that says, no, we're not going to play your game. So, yes, Biden can be on the ballot in Alabama. But he's not on the ballot in Ohio. Really? Still not on the Ohio ballot. I mean, here's the deal. The legislature in Ohio is in the exact same pickle that we're in. They have a 90-day rule. The Democrats weren't going to make it. They made it known. Hey, Democrat National Party, what are you going to do? Do you have any plans? We're in session. Should we bring a bill or are you going to make this happen? Well, so what they did was the Ohio State Senate passed a bill. But within the bill, it also said, and we will also not allow any foreign influence in our elections. And so the Ohio Democrats opposed that. What? Why would you oppose that? Why would you stand up and say, well, we don't believe in having a bill that removes foreign influences in our election? I thought y'all were all about Russia collusion and all that. I thought y'all were all about the dangers of foreign influence. Apparently not. So Joe Biden is still, so the legislature didn't get it done. So they're still wondering what's going to happen right now. Okay, here's the thing. Governor DeWine of Ohio went ahead and called the legislature back into a special session for this single purpose. So Ohio State Republicans have already passed a bill in special session to allow Biden to appear on the ballot, but it also still bars foreign contributions. So the DNC, the Democrats, they just released a statement. This is off ABC News Dateline yesterday afternoon. They released a statement saying, we don't need your silly fix. You don't? Well, how are you going to get on the ballot? Well, we're gonna hold a special Zoom meeting, and we're going to do a virtual certification of our candidate, and we'll send it to you. Really? That's what you're going to do? You're going to suck all the life out of your convention. You're going to go ahead and say, we're done with you. We had a Zoom meeting? You dweebs? That's what you're going to do? Okay. So they literally called out the Republicans for daring to stand in the way. Standing in the way? Y'all scheduled your convention. Did you not look at the law? They didn't change the law. It is what it is. Well, okay. So Governor DeWine is like, all right, I understand you're saying you don't need it, but just understand, we're not going to fix this for you. And the Democrats' response was, we don't need your fix. In fact, what they actually said was, we don't want a legislative fix that holds the voters in their rights to the whims of the majority. Well, they were doing you a solid, man. They even, it was a Republican governor that called him in to a special session so the Republicans, who were in the supermajority, could pass a bill in your favor because you couldn't get it done. Anyway, assuming they're going to certify their candidate by Zoom call, that means that Biden will get on the ballot in Ohio. Now, we'll come back from this break, and I'll just tell you, there are still questions about what happens if Biden can't make it all the way and has to drop out. And then, honestly, what happens if Trump's convicted? We'll talk about both. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're in this dipper, the ballot whack-a-mole. Okay, so I gave you the issues with ballot access, right? It's being resolved. It's a little bit of a pouty face from the Dems on how they're resolving it. We're going to do it by Zoom. We don't even need you. We're okay. We don't need your silly answers. Oh, it's okay. Just, you know, a very expensive special session that the governor had to call on your behalf, but you're going to reject it because you want to be that way. But what happens? Let me ask you a couple questions here. What do you think happens if Biden can't make it all the way to the DNC? So there's a lot of talk right now that in Democrat circles, there's like a total freakout going. Anxiety is swirling right now about, you know, among Democrats about whether or not their guy can make it. Is he getting beaten in all the polls? Everywhere Trump goes, he's like a superhero. And then Biden goes somewhere and he'll have 30 people show up and they're all going to go, yay, little golf claps. So here's the thing. What if Biden drops out of the race? Well, he's already gotten all the electors. So if he drops out of the race, if he has truly withdrawn his name from consideration, then the electors are fair game, is my understanding. So there's that. Story here on the New York Times. Oh, did I go to the New York? I went to the, yes, I did. Anyway, New York Times. So would Kamala Harris automatically become the nominee? No, she would not. Why? because she did not run and receive those electors as her own. So my understanding is she's not on the primary ballot. She was not on the primary ballot as the presidential candidate, but she would have a strong shot for nomination on the floor at the convention. So that's the thing. If Biden steps down or is removed, then the electors become fair game and it becomes what they call a floor fight. At that point, it's going to be a feeding frenzy. They're going to wind up having, you know, Cory Booker is going to want to come back and be Spartacus again. It's going to wind up being, you know, there's going to be teeth and hair flying. But they're going to, and Kamala Harris is going to say, I've earned this. You can't, and they're all going to go, please stop. You're horrible. But then they're going to be looking at people like Gavin Newsom. Oh my gosh. Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. J.B. Pritzker of Illinois. All these, Pete Buttigieg is going to throw his, I guarantee you, is going to throw his name in the hat. Now, Biden won the delegates. Can they replace him? They can't just replace him, is my understanding. The pledged delegates, in other words, as Biden won, there are electors that are now pledged to him, and under the Democrat National Convention rules, what I understand is that those electors are for him through the first vote. If something happens and he does not win the ballot at the convention on the first vote, then all of the electors come open again, and it can be a floor fight even if he's still on the ballot. This is interesting. We're like in almost uncharted waters. So this is the way the Democrat rules have been written since 1970, but that's because they had a complete meltdown in 1968. At the 1968 convention, Lyndon Johnson was so unpopular that it turned into a floor fight. It fractured the party. There were riots in the streets, literally riots in the streets. It was out, by the way, in Chicago, just like it's going to be this time. And Hubert Humphrey won the ballot. So Hubert Humphrey won the ballot, but like tore the party apart. And so the DNC revised its rules and made a new way of doing things. And that's what we see today. More to come on that. Now, what happens with Trump? What happens if Trump's convicted? If he's convicted, can he still run for president? My understanding, Sky News says that yes, he can. That the U.S. Constitution does not have a requirement regarding criminal convictions to run for president. And now some states say you can't vote, but the reality is you have to be born in the U.S., be over the age of 35, lived here for at least 14 years, but nothing prevents him from running if he's convicted. Interesting. But what if he's in jail? What if he gets convicted and they actually put him in jail? He could be elected from jail, apparently. So there's that. How weird is this? We have never been in this place before. This is like totally uncharted territory. We are so far removed from anything that's ever happened that we are like just making it up as we go along right now. But they do have rules and laws. And in theory, if Trump gets elected, but he's in jail and will not have any chance of getting out of jail in time, then you can imagine that means you can't run down to the Situation Room. It's a little difficult to have the nuclear football right next to you. What would they do with all of this? Well, in theory, then the 25th Amendment might come into play and they may have to go ahead and say it transfers to the vice president. I'm telling you, y'all, this is a freaking whack-a-mole. And I'm waiting to see what this jury is going to say, and I'm praying over it. And I'm also waiting to see how Biden's going to do with the coming up on the debate. Wow. Wow. All right, coming up next, Secretary of State Wes Allen calling in. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, and we're going to go to the phones. I'm in dipper number one. I've been calling it the ballot whack-a-mole because there's a lot of reason to believe that, you know, things aren't set in stone. The Dems are talking about their delegate. I think I said electors earlier. Their delegates, you know, confirming or certifying their candidate by Zoom call of all things. It's like uncharted waters everywhere we turn. And yet, the various secretaries of state, to include our own Secretary of State Wes Allen, they are the chief election officers of their state, and they've got to get this stuff right so we can go to the polls and vote. Well, if it's a moving target, what do you do? Well, let's go ahead and go straight to the horse's mouth. So Secretary of State Wes Allen is a former member of the Alabama House of Representatives. He's also served as a probate judge, which means he's been the chief election officer in a county, and now he is for the entire state. Mr. Secretary, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Senator. Thanks for having me on Right Side Radio. I love it. He says, hard to go wrong when you're on Right Side. I like it.
You sound like you need a Right Side Ruffian t-shirt. We may have to work that out.
I need one of those. That'd be good.
Oh, well, all right. We'll work that out.
I hear you.
Hey, listen, let me just get right on in there. So we've got a, you know, like a bit of a moving target. Alabama, we fixed our situation. Ohio's trying to fix our situation. Uh-huh. Democrats are rejecting the notion in Ohio. Talk to me about that first.
Okay. Yeah, my counterpart, Frank LaRose in Ohio, strong conservative secretary up there and good friend. And, they didn't get it passed as far as extending the deadline out like we did here in Alabama. So I think the governor has called a special session. And I think from what I understand, I saw a headline about the Democratic National Convention is going to call a special meeting to go ahead and nominate the president, President Biden. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to go ahead and have the special anyway. But I think they're wanting to not only move to extend the deadline, I think they're wanting to put something else in that bill as well to prohibit foreign contributions to some ballot initiative stuff or something is what I saw. But we'll see how that comes out. You know, I'm paying attention to it just like y'all are.
Well, it's kind of nuts. I mean, we really are in uncharted waters with some of this. And it almost, I mean, the Democrats almost feel like they're still in COVID mode if they're going to call for a massive Zoom call of their delegates and try to certify ahead of time. When have we ever seen this before, like in the history of ever?
I think you're right. I don't know that we've ever seen it in the history of ever, but I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, there was 1972, the Democratic vice presidential candidate had to resign or come off the ticket and they had to replace him. So there has been some type of precedent before, but I don't think kind of what you and I are, you know, discussing here today. So, yeah, we'll definitely uncharted territory.
Well, so let me ask you this. Your office and the office of every Secretary of State, whether they're Republican or Democrat, has to have the ballots printed. And the ballots change. I mean, every county may have a different ballot based upon local elections that could enter the ballot or, you know, congressional elections or whatever. So you got to get them right, obviously. And yet there's a possibility here. There's speculation that Biden, because of his age and infirmities, could wind up, you know, being removed or drop out or not make it all the way through. And then Trump's got his legal issues. What happens if we are like inside the window of time when you had the cutoff by state law and now the nominee changes? What do you do?
So if the day is passed, which is the, you know, August 23rd deadline, that was, you know, that's our deadline. And, of course, the legislature extended that so the Democrats could nominate. And but if that happens and, you know, we've certified to the printer, our vendor who prints all of our ballots for, you know, statewide elections. If we've done that, you know, I don't know much recourse, Senator, that we would have to go to reprint. I mean, we just don't have anything under state law that says, hey, stop the presses. We got to do this over again. That just doesn't give us the ability to do that. So,
wow.
A lot of unknowns there. And, you know, there's a lot of different variables about, you know, what happens when the vacancy occurs. Hopefully that will not happen.
Well, I mean, yeah, hopefully not. Let me ask you. I mean, I would assume that you guys, like I know, for instance, that Attorney General Steve Marshall, he's the head of the Republican Attorneys General Association. I'm assuming you guys have a Republican Association for Secretaries of State, too. Am I right?
We do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Does somebody convene like a massive Zoom call and say, fellas, get on. We got to figure out what to do here. I mean, what do y'all put your heads together and work this thing through?
Yes. I'm sure that would take place. And, you know, we had the National Association, then we also have the different party affiliations, you know, one for the Democrats, one for the Republicans. So I'm sure that there would be a lot of different phone calls being made, a lot of different Zoom meetings going on, trying to figure out exactly how to solve the problem. But that just so much unknowns if that were to play out, and like you said, uncharted territory, we'll just have to take it as it comes.
Well, I mean, you signed up for it, obviously, and yeah. At the county level, I'm sure you saw some weird stuff happen because all politics is local, and local politics gets weird sometimes. And I know you probably saw some, you know, some recounts and some challenges and things at the local level at some point. But you're literally sitting in the seat right now at a time when it could get weirder than we have ever seen.
I know, and yeah, you're exactly right. I was a probate judge back in 2010 when you remember Tim James and Robert Bentley were had the recount. You remember all that?
Oh yeah.
Of course, I think that's when you first got elected too.
It was
to the state senate. So yeah, we oversaw that. We saw right when I went in as a probate judge, we saw a circuit court overturn a county commission race. Over some fraud that had happened, and so we saw that. I mean, we've been tested and tried, and you know, we've got some good legal counsel here in this office, and there's great legal counsel in the other offices, you know, secretaries' offices around the country. And you know, I'm sure if some unforeseen reason, if you know, Trump or Biden were not, you know, something happened after the fact, the deadline after the ballots have printed. It's you know, going to be a lot of different scenarios to work through, and I'm sure the courts would be involved, and we'll just have to see what would happen there.
Well, all right, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you before we go, election integrity. Alabama, sure. I think we're wired pretty tight. Is there anything that you feel like still needs to be done in future legislative sessions to try and tighten up Alabama for any more?
So, yeah, we had a great session. You know, we've talked about the ballot harvesting bill that we got passed, SB1. We talked, I don't know if we talked since ranked choice got passed, prohibition on ranked choice voting, which was a huge win for Alabama, where we don't have that confusing mechanism of counting votes because it's just a train wreck wherever it happens. You know, they use it in New York City. They use it in other municipalities around the country. So we don't need that anywhere close to what we do here in Alabama. You know, I think that as we make our way along and consider the 24 election cycle coming up, and I think the way we do it in Alabama, paper ballots, our tabulators are not connected to the internet. There's no modem inside those tabulators. We still have a photo identification. We've got to stick by photo identification. That's imperative. It's common sense. Yeah. People, you know, support that idea. Make sure that people have confidence in what we do here in the state of Alabama. One of the things that you know, I brought attention to is these third-party liberal groups outside the state of Alabama that are dropping these pre-filled voter registration forms in on the state. And we're seeing it from the Voter Participation Center, the Center for Voter Information, are two groups in particular that are targeting Democratic coalitions. They say they're nonpartisan, but they're only targeting folks that vote that would, you know, vote a certain way. And I have said, please don't drop them in Alabama. They create confusion because we get phone calls. We get notes when they mail them back to us. It looks like it comes from us. It does not come from us. And it just creates confusion. And so I think that's probably something we need to look at next year. Is these pre-filled voter registration forms, because it is confusing.
I can see that. Absolutely. All right. Hey, listen, before I let you go, I hadn't planned on asking this, but it just occurred to me. I saw where Congressman Jerry Carl said he believes that the recent Supreme Court ruling could indicate that we might wind up redrawing the congressional lines in Alabama again. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I tell you what, I saw that coming out of South Carolina, and we're supposed to be having a meeting very soon about what the South Carolina decision means for our case. And Senator, you know, I'm the main defendant in that, so I probably don't need to go too far. But I will say that very confident in the team, Steve Marshall and his folks, Constitutional Defense, and what they're doing, and you know, It's we'll just have to wait and see what happens with all of that. And I don't want to be the person that fault for saying something that I shouldn't say. So, you know, it goes to trial next year. We'll get on a full record. We'll get full testimony. We'll get full evidence finally in this case. and see where it goes from there.
Well, as an attorney who's had clients that said too much, I can tell you, you did good. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Well, you did your job. You did that, but, and believe me, Senator, I want to say more than I, you know, probably need to, but I just, don't say too much.
No worries. We can stop yes, there. Sir. That was a last minute off the cuff fly
sir.
Question. So, all right, Mr.
Yes,
Secretary, more to come. And if we see changes happening, we'll reach out to you. But we appreciate your time today.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you, Senator.
All right. Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Alabama's Secretary of State Wes Allen, who's I'll be honest with you. I got no complaints. That man has been doing the job. And Alabama, if you're not familiar, has some of the tightest election laws, and I'm real proud to have been a part of getting some of them put in place, like voter ID. So when you hear people complaining about, you can't do that, Georgia, you can't pass those laws, we already did it in Alabama, and guess what? Ain't nobody been disenfranchised yet. In fact, it has worked like spot on perfect. People go to the polls, they show their ID. If they don't have an ID, we actually drive out to them and set up mobile IDs. And then, oh, by the way, the voter integrity is pretty solid. The voting machines aren't questioned, and the results are in that night. How good is that? Have an actual voting day in Alabama. All right, we're taking a break. We'll take that break and come right back, and I'll get a few text messages and wrap this one up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. I got several text messages that I will close out that section with. Thomas from Athens says, I think the virtual Dem convention avoids public floor fight and the expected large-scale pro-Hamas anti-Israel protesters. Oh, and looking back to Hillary's special electors in 2016, I suspect there will be much backroom Democrat skullduggery in the resulting candidate decisions from this virtual convention. I would agree with you. He says these Dems are shrewd and crookedly persistent. Then he followed up, by the way, Thomas Mathen says, I judge that if Trump is convicted and jailed, Secret Service, which answers to Merrick Garland, will not prevent President Trump's incarceration. Then most tragically, Trump may meet the same fate. Now, I don't want to go down that road, Thomas. I don't think so. I'm not going there, brother. Can't do it. How much time we got? Let's see here. Two more real quick. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, if Joe Biden is nominated before the convention to get on Ohio's ballot and they change him at the convention, then I think that whoever runs other than Biden in Ohio would have to be right in vote. That's interesting, Jeff. I mean, like I said, uncharted waters, bro. Josh from Hayden, Alabama says, I'm loving the Right Philosophy podcast. Well, thank you, sir. That's a great, in fact, what a great segue. So I listen while I wind down from the grind. Keep it up. God bless. Thank you, Josh. Josh, I appreciate that very much. Yeah, so by the way, that's a great segue for me to say the latest edition of the Right Philosophy podcast is out today, as a matter of fact. I just checked it to make sure it uploaded good, and it's there. We're really excited about this. It's a video podcast, and apparently I'm wearing the exact same shirt in that video podcast that I'm wearing today, which is mere coincidence, but there it is. But yeah, I film it at my house, and this one is called We Want Our Cities Back. So check it out, the Right Philosophy Podcast at rightsideradio.org. I got a call. Let me grab that real quick. Do I have time? All right, good. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, brother?
Well, brother, you know I don't call in until something really chafes my rear end, right?
Well,
speaking of the dummy in Washington, D.C., trust me, he's the dummy. This guy here, from what I hear, whatever the results of the trial for former President Trump, this guy wants to get on TV, left-wing TV, all the major stations, and then have a discussion about it. You got to be kidding me. Why don't you do your job? Why don't you run this country or start running it, for crying out loud? The first thing you should do is fire your vice president because she's worse than you. Okay, and then fire yourself, and let's get somebody in that does the job. You got to be kidding me. We don't have time for this banana republic on the TV giving you play-by-play about how he feels about how the results came out. No matter what results come out with this, and this, all you got to worry about, Joe, is doing your freaking job. All you people in Washington, D.C., stop arguing amongst each other and come to a common ground and make this country great, for crying out loud. We pay you people.
Wolverine Dan, don't beat around the bush, man. Give it to us straight.
Well, I think everybody feels the same way, my friend.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think we're sick of it. I think we want to see something move forward. We want to know it's in the best interest of the people and not just inside the bubble in Washington. You're right, brother.
And one more thing, I guarantee you, these foreign countries are shaking in their boots because they know if we get our president back in charge, things are going to change, and they're not going to have the gravy train and everything's hunky-dory. Guess what? It's going to be a bunch of poop, and you're going to have to live in it. See ya.
See you, man. Just a turd sandwich, and we all have to eat it. There it is. I love it when Wolverine Dan calls. He just fires me up. I'm gonna go hunt bear with a switch. All right, listen, we got plenty more on tap. We're gonna come back here momentarily and deal with a batch of home fries, things you got to know about happening in your own hometown. Two more quick texts right now. Missy from Faultville says, I'll buy that shirt. All right. And then JT Lacey Springs says, you left Pelosi off the list of Dem candidates. LOL. I think she'd have too much trouble keeping her teeth in to be able to do her acceptance speech. So I'm just saying, I can't picture it.
She got fake teeth?
Brother, it's awful. It's awful. Just her schlocking around while she's trying to talk. It's bad. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.